This is the Spin Axis Podcast, and I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
And I'm Tyson Deskins.
Today we're going to talk about motor pattern learning, what it is, and why do golfers need to know what it is, of course, and how can we use it so that we can play better golf. It's a topic that I've been researching a lot lately, and to be honest with you, it's one of my favorite things, because what is your golf swing? It's a habit that you've formed over doing something numerous times. How do we do that? Well, we need to learn a new motor pattern. Eric, I'm sure that you constantly are working that through winter times with your students.
Yeah, and I tell people that the golf swing involves almost every muscle in your body and involves swinging a stick within about an eighth of an inch and a few degrees, 100 some miles an hour, and is over in a second. So there's not a lot of thought going on in this. This is not chess.
I tell people all the time, like I'm honestly surprised that we as just humans, with what Eric just said, can be as good as we actually are at sending this golf ball anywhere close to our target, because there's so much going on in such a little time. And it absolutely is one of those subjects or topics that sort of fascinate me, right?
Yeah, it's incredible. We wrote in Lowest Score Wins that if you had an alien come down and you said, here's a bunch of these weird looking sticks, and there's a hole that's this big, you know, 4 1/4 inches, 400 yards that way, and there's trees and bushes and ponds and sand and all that stuff in the way, what would you think? And they would say 30, 25 if you're really good, I think. And we're ticked if it's not 4.
Yeah, so it's crazy sport for sure. The first thing that I ask my students when they come in, or obviously they're hitting golf balls, what's the issue? What are you trying to fix? And they go, oh, you know, I'm pushing out to the right and I'm pulling off to the left. And you look at their swing and they've got what I would consider a bad pattern, right? The face is too open. And then because the face is open, they got to try and pull their path to the left to help close the club face. And some people, yeah, you can come in and go, oh, your grip's really bad. And then, you know, they obviously, the chain reaction starts taking effect and they hit the ball better. Other people, though, doesn't happen like that. It is deeply ingrained. So how do we move them from that bad pattern into a better pattern? I will often tell people, you have to remember how you learned anything new the first time, because guess what? This is a new pattern that you need to be able to do it. So imagine driving a car for the first time. You're going to be in a Walmart parking lot going like 5 kilometers an hour, which would be, I guess, maybe 2.5 miles per hour. Really slow.
That's a kilometer.
Yeah. It's really short. Just like how much our money is. You need to do it really slow with no pressure. When you got in the car for the first time and you watched some random person driving in that parking lot, even though they were like 400 or 500 meters away, you're like, oh my gosh, am I going to crash into them? And it's not, but that's the amount of pressure that you need to remove out of your golf swing. So you need to take sometimes the ball out. Can you just make an air swing really slowly with the proper pattern and then build it back up? You guys, same thing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Let's even just go to somebody who stays in the back foot in the finish. It's a newer player. They've learned to swing. Let's say they've only been even swinging a golf club for a month. They swing a golf club. They don't get off their back foot. That's their pattern. You then teach them how to get on top of that trail toe in their finish, club behind their head, and then they fall off balance. One of the first things that always happens is they look at you and they're like, oh, but I fell off balance. Yeah, but you should. You've never done that in your life. That's like a baby who just pulled themselves up on the couch for the first time. Their brain's going, oh, there's a whole new world up here. Boom, they fall over. But it doesn't stop that baby from pulling themselves up again. You got to do it again, and you got to do it again, and you will no longer fall off balance the more you do it.
A friend of mine says the phrase, that feels weird, is the single biggest thing holding golfers back from getting better. And so I will tell people, that feels weird, right? Yeah. That's good, because right now working with me, you're doing stuff you've never done before. It should feel weird. If it didn't feel weird or strange or new, it probably wouldn't be better, because right now you shoot 90. Better is a change. Better is going to be weird. It's going to be weird when you shoot 75 the first time, because things are going to feel different. Your habit is this. You need to do this. The students I love to work with are those that are not afraid of exaggeration. I'm not trying to stereotype, but generally, I find that women and girls tend to be the most willing to exaggerate stuff. Guys, I'll generally ask for a mile and try to hope for like an inch or a foot.
Absolutely.
Women, often after like the fourth swing, I'm like, all right, yeah, that's overdone now. We can back off that a little bit. Guys, I'm like, come on, like do it more. I had a guy the other day that actually did well at this, but his path was 10 degrees to the right. and I showed him some things to improve both angle of attack and path, because those two numbers are linked. And on about his seventh swing, the first few were like 8 out, 7 out, and then 6 out. I was like, dude, just give me 15 left.
Yes.
And 10 down. I don't care. And he gave me 9 left and 8 down or something like that. And I was like, awesome. Now let's work back to the middle. Because once you can show yourself that you can do that, it kind of frees you up to be like, oh, that wasn't even as much as I was swinging out at the ball. And that felt like crazy amount. So now I can just back off for that. Once you've accepted that level of exaggeration, it kind of frees you up to say, okay, I need to feel something in the middle of that. I can do that. I can do this. I need to find the middle now.
Yeah. And I would 100% say the biggest thing that people have is they can't let go of hitting a bad golf shot at the beginning. And I tell them, I said, listen, like, the range is a safe space. Like, nobody truly cares what you're doing at the range. They don't know if you hit it like on purposely into the driving range fence. Like, what's wrong with that? I mean, this is the reason you're going there. Same with inside a studio. Let yourself hit bad golf shots to feel new feels, and then you can add. Because sometimes there's another thing that you need to add into the pattern. You aren't there yet. And especially, let's say we're moving that bigger pattern. Well, we might start with face, and then all of a sudden they hit poles. I had a student here 2 weeks ago, and he hit poles for 30 minutes. I'm like, this is awesome. Like, look at where you're at right now. And yeah, if you go golfing in the next 2 weeks, yeah, you might hit poles. And you should be excited about that, because that is the next step to your progression to playing really good golf. And he's like, well, what do I do if I'm out on the golf course? I'm like, well, you could just align yourself a little bit to the right for now, and then hit that same shot. Because I'd much rather you ingrain that pattern. And for the next 2 weeks, have you come in, you go like, yeah, Jason, I was hitting it really good, striking the ball well, obviously just, you know, little pulls. Okay, perfect, great. Well, here's the next thing. Now that you've got that baked in, let's do the next thing. Because sometimes you can't add all these things at the same time. And that would be what I would see is people, one, either add too many things at one point, or they go too fast and then they revert back when they feel like they've got it.
I'm going to touch on the too fast thing soon, but working indoors, right? I have an indoor academy. I teach indoors in the summer even. I can go outside, and we do sometimes, but indoors is big because it removes the initial, where did that ball go? Dude, your club head was in a spot 3 feet different from where it was on the previous swing. Give it 5 swings before you worry about how fast you swung it or where the ball went.
Yeah, it's so true. A lot of times I will literally just only have the video up on the screen, or I'll just turn the screen blank, right, and just have them take some swings with these exaggerated feels. And I will always say to people, I think anybody who actually cares about getting better will end up overdoing it. You'll end up overdoing the new thing if you want to get better. People who don't care about getting better never end up overdoing it. They never then change the pattern. If you know both ends of the spectrum, you know the old version, you now know the new version, then we can find somewhere in the middle.
I'll push back on that a little bit. I think that there are plenty of people that care a lot about getting better. They just don't know how to do it.
Fair.
And they don't know how to do it well enough. So they care. They really want to get better. But for example, something like shortening your backswing, it's really tough to overdo that.
For sure.
It's really tough to overdo that. I mean, people feel like they stop the club when it gets waist high. And you show them the video and it's almost parallel, and you're like, that can't be that swing. That's, show me the one that I just did.
Yeah.
This is the only one in my camera roll right now. It's the one you just did.
So I would agree. People do care. I think people like the idea of getting better more than they like the process that it takes to actually get better, right?
Well, they think, I went for a golf lesson, so I should be better now.
Correct.
That's what they think.
Yes.
They don't realize that, no, you have like 5 years of training ahead of you, or at least weeks, you know, of work often.
And I would say, like, the inability to monitor themselves when they leave the lesson is what I try to harp more than anything, especially if it's a bigger pattern. Like, I tell people, you may leave here and you may not make a full swing on your own off of the golf course for a month, for 2 months, for 3 months. You might be swinging at 10% speed. You might be swinging air swings, might be swinging foam balls. And truly, until I say, hey, you could swing faster, you shouldn't be, because you can't do it by yourself. And this is why, obviously, you want to.
You can't do it well doing it slowly. There's no point in doing it fast.
Yeah, exactly. This episode is brought to you by the Fit for Golf app. And in my mind, and a lot of tour players, it's the number one fitness golf app. Mike Carroll has put together the best workout routines for you so that you can work on getting stronger, healthier, and of course, fitter. both at home with bands or at the gym with all the machines, he's got you covered. So you can hit the ball further, lower your scores, and play your best golf for years to come. Use code SPINAXIS to get 20% off your subscription. Your body and your golf game will thank you.
Yeah, I think that takes a lot of discipline too, right? And like Eric said earlier, it's not stereotyping, but like I think that's really hard for guys as well, right? Because there's so much emphasis on distance. You know, guys, we want to smash it. Well, my buddy hits his 8-iron 185 yards. I want to hit my 8-iron 185 yards. It's like, well, first off, your buddy doesn't hit his 8-iron that far. You know, secondly, who cares what distance you hit it as long as you can hit it the same distance every time within a decent dispersion? It's always one of those things when you start to work with these people to change their pattern and you give them a very specific set of drills. It's just so common then to see them just practicing these drills way too fast, like we touched on earlier. And then they're just not getting the benefit of, you're not learning as you're doing that, because when you go fast, your brain doesn't know anything other than speed.
Yeah, and it's going to use that old pattern just to survive. That's the next thing I tell people is the second that you go back, you don't go through the stages, you know, 10, 20, 25, 40, 50, 75, like it takes a long time. And inside, when there's no pressure, yeah, you're going to be able to do it at 100% speed before you try to bring it to the range. And there's more pressure at the range and you slow it back down. And then you go to the course, there's going to be more pressure there. And you have to bring more pressure to the range so that when you go to the course, there's going to be less pressure than you feel like it because you've already done the pattern with some amount of pressure on the range.
Yeah, I wrote in Low Score Wins 5 S words of practice and improvement. And they were simple, specific, slow, short, and success. And very quickly, each of them is simple, meaning I try to make sure, because my students will say sometimes in the end of a lesson, they'll be like, you know, I've given them 5 different ways to feel the same exact thing.
Yeah.
But sometimes they'll be like, wait, this is getting, there's a lot right now. I was like, no, wait, okay, so I'm failing at my job. I need to make this very simple for you. We're trying to change this one thing. And I give you a bunch of different ways to do it, but very, very simple. I like my students to have something very simple that they're trying to do. Doesn't mean it's easy. Simple and easy are not the same thing. It's just very simple, very specific. It's almost the same word, but very specific, saying, okay, your path was 9 degrees out. We're trying to get that into a window that's 3 degrees or less. Okay. And I don't care if it ends up being slightly out to in, if you don't mind playing a fade. Simple and specific are the first two. Slow and short, right? I like slow swings. We've talked about that a lot. I don't need to explain that more. Short. I like short sessions. I like short swings. Build up the swing, because if you do a lot of training that feels like it's 9 to 3, because everyone knows 9 to 3 swings are 11 o'clock to almost full follow throughs.
Yes.
That can also help ingrain like almost everyone needs a shorter backswing. Slow and short. Short training sessions, because if you're there for 2 hours, the last hour and 40 minutes of that are probably not great. Work in 15 to 20 minute increments, then play on your phone. If you're there for an hour, work in 15 to 20 minutes, take a little break, hit some distance wedges, do something different for a little bit, and then refocus. You know, it's like the old, to learn homework or to do homework and stuff or study for tests, they showed like your learning retention goes down after about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's about the same in golf, right? You start to get sloppy, you start to get overconfident, you start to go too fast because you've been doing something for 20 minutes, so you're getting pretty good at it. Take a break and relearn that stuff, recall how extreme the things had to feel. And then success just means, like, change the picture when you're practicing. If you're trying to get the club head to not be a foot inside your hands at P6, just stick with the example that I've been using. Change the picture and make the club head look like it's slightly outside your hands repeatedly on a bunch of swings at whatever speed you're at right now.
Yeah, I would say that I give this drill, I mean, and it's not even a drill, it's just how you should practice. Take 5 balls out of your bucket of balls if you're at the range. Don't dump the whole thing because you're going to start zombie smashing them out there. So grab 5 balls. Set up your video camera. Videotape the first one. Does it look good? If it doesn't look good, now you got 4 more balls to exaggerate whatever you need to do. Let's say on that 5th one, it looks great. Okay, if it looks good and it's an exaggeration of what you should be doing, now you can go a little bit faster. Repeat the same process. But at any point when the first one and the fifth one don't look good, you don't go any faster past that because you aren't doing it properly. And you might be at the range, again, 20 minutes, two times for 40 minutes, and you may not get over 25% speed. And you need to go, okay, that was a good range session. The problem is people go, well, if I don't get up to full speed, I'm not smashing it, you know, 180 yard, eight irons, I've failed. And that's not the case. Your goal out there is to learn how to repeat a pattern over and over and over again, so that when you do speed up to the next level, you can do it.
I think both of those little segments right there are gold for players that are listening to this. You know, Eric, to your point of what you were talking about, I'll often get players come in and you can just see the frustration in their eyes, and you ask them, well, what are you thinking about? They're like, oh, man, I'm just thinking about so many things right now as I'm hitting balls. And I said, okay, well, tell me what you're thinking about. And they'll tell you two things. Right? It's like, well, hang on a minute. You just told me you were thinking about a lot of things, but you just gave me two things. And to your point, I think it's because a lot of times as coaches, we are giving them a lot of drills for the exact same, you know, reason. And they're thinking of all of those things. So to your point of like trying to make it simple and get them to understand, hey, here are five drills to attack one issue. It's not five different things, right? I think that's so important. And then to do, you know, three, four, five ball sets on the range and really be evaluating the type of move you made versus like Jason just said, zombie smashing golf balls. There's just so much gold in there. That's how you start to change a pattern.
Yeah. And I think feedback is important. Sometimes people will say, well, feedback's important. So, you know, how I hit the ball is feedback and how the ball flies is feedback. Yes. When you start to get up to 75% speed and more. I think that's important. But early on, the ball flight and how solidly you hit the ball and those kinds of things are not good feedback because you are doing something you've never done before, or you've only done at 20% speed or something like that. So, by the way, nobody swings at 20% speed. I'll say swing at 1 mile an hour and the guy swings at 70.
Yes.
But with a 7-iron. So.
Yes. Yes.
If you can, there's a video of Ben Hogan where he swings like, and it takes him like a minute to make a golf swing. And one of the commonalities of the game's best players is they can make a 15-second golf swing that looks and sequences almost exactly like their actual golf swings. And you ask a regular golfer to do that, and they're like, wait, now my left knee does this. Now it's like not their golf swing at all. It looks way better oftentimes, but it's not their golf swing at all.
Right.
But there's value in that too, because if it looks better and they go slower, they should go slower until slowly speed it up. But practice with feedback. And sometimes that can be tough because in transition, you can't really put a training aid up there. You know, it's tough to do stuff. That's what things like Hack Motion can work, because they can, you can make slow swings and it can measure the transition. Oftentimes even putting like a pool noodle or different things can be useful for stopping your backswing at the right length. Find a way to provide feedback to yourself. Sometimes that feedback is just video. Record yourself and look at immediately after, so the feeling is fresh in your body, what that looked like, right? Make sure your camera angles are good and all that stuff, but find some form of feedback. It's not always ball flight or how solidly you hit it, but find some form of feedback. It's very, very, very important, because the feedback is kind of like your little in-place instructor, right? We're not there with our students all the time when they're practicing, but it kind of gives us at least 2% of us being there, telling them, yep, that one was better. Nope, that one wasn't quite as good. Oh, that one was almost perfect.
Yeah, one of my favorite things I tell students when they're first really going slow is to zoom yourself. Set up your phone and then grab a iPad or FaceTime yourself. Your computer and put it out of the way. Yeah, I do have trouble FaceTiming. Sometimes it doesn't work, but Zoom always seems to work. Turn it off because you're going to get bad feedback audio-wise. Once it's there, you can look down at the general area of the ground and then watch your swing. And again, you should be trying to exaggerate it so your brain starts going like, wow, that's my exaggeration feel and it's only on plane now. Okay. And so your brain can start buying into what your eyes are seeing to go, oh, I need even more than that. It's a great way if your, you know, instructor's not there, you can get some good feedback right away.
All right, guys, another awesome chat. Thanks again. I truly appreciate your time and insights. And everyone tuning in, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed it, hit that subscribe button and share it with a friend. We'll catch you next time on The Spin Axis.
And remember, you can find us on all social medias at The Spin Axis and online at thespinaxis.com.
Thanks for listening.